Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Dr. Paula Price, welcome to the Paula Price Show. How are you doing this morning?
I decided to really get excited about today. I don't know why, but God is hot on something today, and so I'm very glad that he got hot on something on Thursday, because then I could share it with everybody.
Well, good. If he's hot and you're hot, that means we're going to be hot with him.
Amen. I know it, and I have a blast with him today. I've had a great week with the Lord, and, well, you know, every week for me and Jesus is amazing. But sometimes he still outdoes himself. And so today is one of those days where I just could not wait to share what God has done and what he's doing and what he's saying. But before I do that, is it not almost forum time?
Yes, it is almost forum time. We are counting down the weeks. Now we're about to count down days.
I know. I still can't believe that it's, like, we're already in June. What happened to January? Did we do anything useful with January, February, and March? Not quite sure.
I don't know. I don't know. When we pray as the intercessor squad, last week I had to tell myself to stop praying as though it was the beginning of the year and what's going to happen in 2013. Like, we have 11 months ahead of us in 2013.
You know? I feel the same way. You know, when I'm making plans, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, we're mid-year. I have to shift. What am I going to do for the remainder of the year? But in any event, God is a good God. I want to welcome everybody to the call today. I look forward to talking with you guys. I know you know it. And, yes, I say it every week because I mean it every week because, well, you're that important to me. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the Facebook notes, and I appreciate the comments. I appreciate your responses every week. We're growing. I mean, I'm ecstatic about how this is growing. You're sending it around the world to your friends, and they're responding. So we have a good thing going on. I think, guys, within the next 30 days, we might be able to say we're striking the move of God in this particular project. Now, here's why I'm excited, because we have plans. We have some wonderful things that I'll be telling you about throughout the month. Changes, improvements, additions. We're still working to get more, you know, calls in, and I'll talk about that a little later. But we have a great call session planned because we're going to talk to another one of our speakers for the forum, Prophet Jonathan Ferguson, later on in the show. I'm thrilled about that. I also have been getting names, and haven't we actually put possible names for what we do on Thursdays, and I have appreciated them. So we're going to start posting those and getting your feedback on the names. I think that's awesome. And then we're going to spend just a moment sharing some of your testimonials, because you do write me, and we put out for you to tell us your story. So we have a couple of short stories we want to tell. But right now I want to talk about what God is thinking about you. And I've spent all week really seeking God, not because he doesn't speak, but because I want to say the right thing at the right time, you know, to be the one who gives the word in season. And the Lord wants you to know that he expects you to step up to the plate. God says, I am visiting you all. I am visiting you in various ways. He is calling forth a force, not just a team. You know, in peacetime, you have a team. But, you know, in times of conflict, you have a force. And so God is transforming a lot of you all from a team mindset to becoming a force to be reckoned with. And God is interested in you becoming that force for him in the earth. And that requires your training. That requires your mentorship. That requires you being with the right mentor, because many of you picked up mentors like folks pick up shoes at the mall. And, you know, it just seemed great. You went to a service. You heard a prominent preacher tell you needed a mentor. You just ran out and got one, like you can shop for it. But I hear the Holy Ghost saying, evaluate your mentorship. And I would say to you who mentor, make sure that you can produce in the people that you're committed to what God needs, that it's useful. We're not always compatible. And sometimes you can have a mentorship arrangement that's too compatible, which means you don't have enough tension and friction to produce growth, to produce a comfortable and confident mentee. Now, I say that to you because those are two words that you're going to hear me say probably a lot over the next several months. We need you to be compatible. We need you to be confident and competent. I speak to my mentees all the time about this. Guys, it's nice that you are bold in the Lord, but I need you to be capable and competent, okay? Because we have put so much on people's boldness that we've allowed them to think that whatever bravado they feel in their heart is sufficient to get God's task done. Apostles and prophets are very different people. We think differently. We measure differently. We weigh differently. And, yes, we do press the people differently because we know that God is looking for a product. I'm in the middle of finishing a brand-new class on New Era Apostleship Church Structure. And while I was developing this class, the Holy Spirit said to me very clearly, I want you to talk about them having miracles again. I need them to want to be miraculous people and not just manifesting people. God wants to start talking to you all about miracles. He started having me refine my course on the Dunamite. If you have my encyclopedia, I'm producing one, but my dictionary, if you have my dictionary, I want you to go look up the Dunamite. God wants to revive that office. Many of you are, again, the right mentor is going to tell you where you fit, and some of us don't fit in the can. Some of us don't fit on the shelf. Some of us just don't fit in that label that we've been put in. But some of you, God is dealing with you about broadening your perspective and broadening your expectations of who he made you to become and what he's appointed you to do. And some of you are miracle workers, and that's why he's excited today. So he's had me do this whole class, which I'll be teaching probably when I go to Arizona and a little bit at the end of the month at the forum. But I'm teaching about the Dunamite, and I'm going to, you know, I'm so excited I'm going to have to shut up because I'll start teaching it all over again, and this is not what this particular call is for. But I want to say this. I want to leave you with this thought. Many times, the severity of your trials 100% mirror the extensiveness of your calling. Almost verbatim, the thing that you have to conquer before you serve God is the thing that becomes your resource when you serve him. Those of you with money issues, stop thinking every time I turn around, I've got money issues and God's not here. No, God wants you to learn how to conquer the sphere of money. Starting with yourself, because he has a whole lot of people who are crying out for wealth. And God has new ideas and inventions and other vehicles to bring wealth into the body. But he has to do it through people. And so you have to win yourself. The Holy Spirit said to me, if you can't break through in your own money, you won't break through in my people. So you all who are struggling about money, or if it's your health, if it's marriage, if it's family, God just might be grooming you to be a miracle worker. You might be that person, or several of you might be the ones that God is calling to restaff his Dunamite office. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 12:28-29. He said, you know, in 28, he said, are all workers of miracles. That means that's a person. A worker is a person. That means that office is going to be reopened by the Holy Ghost, and it's going to expand and enlarge itself globally. And we're going to have people who have come out of the ash heap of destruction and the rubble of despair and failure, and you're going to rise up, and you're going to find the secret, the mystery secret to working the powers of God in the natural. Remember, Jesus said to you, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And under evangelical paradigm, we've talked you out of it. We've told you there is no more violence, there's no more battles and whatever. That's nonsense. Half of your lives are wrestling with the very things that we told you were done away with. So that can't be true. But here's what God wants you to know. There's a reason that it's up for grabs, and there's a reason why there's such intense fighting for it, because there's something there that belongs to you that hell does not want you to have. I'm telling you, people, you can see I'm on fire. I've been working on this course for like 2 weeks, and I finally hit a stride. I'm excited about it, and God said he's getting ready to make himself some miracle workers in this era, and that we are going to do things in a planet that has been closed up and shut away for ages, but now God's getting ready to do it. And that is why you love God with all your heart, you're faithful, you're determined, you're dedicated, and you can't get a breakthrough because God wants you to rise up to learn all of the tricks of the trade, if you will, all of the secrets of making happen what you want from God's kingdom in your world. Because if you can make it work for you, you can make it work for thousands and perhaps millions. So, anyway, that's my exhortation for today. How about you, Ashley? Are we ready to go forward, or are you going to take my 30 seconds and speak?
I might take 45 seconds today.
No way you were going to let me get away with that. I knew it.
No. Well, because we want to emphasize the word miracle, and God is emphasizing the word worker. Like you said, a worker is a person, and you have to work it and not just wait for the miracle. It doesn't say a miracle catcher. It says a miracle worker. And, you know, that's just something that popped out to me when you were talking about that and how the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. We have to take it by force. And that we want to have the passive breakthrough. And really, I guess, by definition of what a breakthrough is, it can't be passive at all.
No, if you're breaking, it's not passive.
Yeah. Yep. But, okay. So, that was these 2 cents. Okay, I think I said 20 seconds worth. So, there you go.
Oh, so you got a change left over. That only means you're going to take it later on. I know how you do this.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it's early.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm so excited, and I'm thankful for everybody that's on the call today and those that you'll pass it off to, because God has been working this thing for a long time. And one of the things that I want to say, Ashley, is that we have to literally reshape our perception of a miracle, because a miracle is something that's seen that wasn't seen, but is seeing and making the impossible take hold in the realm of possibility. And so we, you know, when we think about miracles, we want to go to a church meeting, we want to go to a preacher, let him lay hands on. But I want you to know that God is working miracles every day. You know, when people say God is no longer working miracles, that's because they have closed their eyes to it. I'm telling you, God is doing miraculous things every day. But we need to stop thinking that they are only limited to health. They're only limited to dismemberments and healing. God's miracles, those apostles work miracles, Philip and all, they work miracles in every strata. And I'm telling you, some of you who are on the call today are here because you're a miracle. And some of you all who are going to go from this particular talk forward, you're going to go with a whole new understanding of miracles, because being able to work a miracle means you're empowered with them. And if you're empowered with them, then all you need to know how to do is to get them from your spirit to your soul, from your soul to your heart, from your heart to your mind, from your mind to your hands, from your hands to the world. And that we can make happen. Hallelujah.
Is that all?
All right, where do we go from here? Because, you know, I'm up there now. You got to pull me in. I'm like a hot air balloon right now. You got to pull me on
there. I know. You're about to give away the store. Okay, we're going to do right now, Dr. Price, some of the testimonials. Tell us your story. We want to know your story, and some of you have responded by sharing your story. So here are just a few very quick ones. We have Monica. She said, I want to thank Dr. Paula Price for praying for me and giving me good counsel and instructing me to take the assessment. Now I know who I am, and I have a different perspective on life and purpose.
Woo. Amen. And thank you.
So, yes, that was Monica. Now, this is Ms. Nikki. Hi, Dr. Price. My name is Nikki, and I just wanted to say that the mere fact that God has allowed you to be presented over the airwaves is a testimony for me. I have always wished that I could be privy to the wisdom that God has downloaded into your spirit on a regular basis, and this coming from a person who has been in class after class of people who call themselves able to teach the prophetic, but were actually people who God used to show me what not to do and how not to act. Praise God. We literally have nobody that I know of in my area, she lives in Maryland, who speaks to my spirit as you do. I would love for someone to bring you to the area. It would be such a blessing. God bless you, and I just love Prophet Ashley. Oh, that's funny.
Well, you know what? She's going to have to pray. We just got through talking about miracles, and miracles are making it happen when it shouldn't happen, where it ought not to happen, but God decreed it to be.
Oh, amen. Well, bless God. And then we have one more. This one is hysterical. This is from D. Taylor. She said, 3 letters, O-M-G. I have been tuning into the weekly broadcast approximately 2 weeks ago and have been hooked ever since. Dr. Price not only goes to the root of the problem, but she provides practical godly wisdom that can be readily applied to one's life. I discovered that her prayers are not just for the person she is talking to, but her prayers are so precise, they affect my life as well. The breakthroughs are so powerful that I can't wait until the next broadcast. What an awesome woman of God. P.S. The assessment, and this is in caps, blew me away. I read my life like the morning paper. Laugh out loud. Blessings.
Wow, that's exciting. And, you know, it's exciting to do this and then to hear the results, because I want to know that God is making it happen. I press God. I don't just pray and hope God will make it happen. I press him. Okay, now, Lord. And we talk about it a lot. We talk about things he's going to accomplish, things he wants me to say, and things that I want to press him to manifest. Because, well, I'm in my office, and when you go to your work office every day, it works. I'm in my office, my kingdom office. I expect it to work every single day. So thank you all for writing. And listen, don't stop telling me your story, because it's encouraging and it's empowering. And trust me, I need your powers. This is not going to work with one person. Every one of you all collectively, when we come together, we magnify and intensify the power of the Almighty to make things happen for him in the planet. And this is the era that we are going to. As the body of Christ said, we are making it happen, because we are the make it happen children of the Most High God.
Amen.
Did you leave me, Ashley?
I said amen. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Well, I appreciate it. Weren't those wonderful stories?
Yes, they were. And that's just a few of them.
Wow. Well, I, you know what I'm going to do? You know, when I get cards, when I get greeting cards, you know what I do when I get my cards, right, Ashley?
I do.
Tell me what I do with my cards.
You know, Dr. Price is a very unique woman. And what she does is she has a special chair that she sits in, reclines in, reads all of the cards, probably sheds a few tears of appreciation. I don't know. I'm never around when she does it. And then we seal them up, and she keeps them forever.
I do. Well, because I know that whenever I'm too old to start to do this, I don't know what year that's going to be, I'm going to be able to sit down with all my cards and look at my life, and I'm excited about that. Well, that's what I'm going to do with these stories. I am going to sit in my chair and read them and seal them up, because they are what keep you going. So, folks, keep them coming, because I am ecstatic about getting them. Okay, Ashley, we've chatted enough. What's next?
All right. First up on your list today is Pastor Tamika. And Pastor Tamika is from North Carolina, and her request today is prayer for the ministry and direction. What they want to do is they want to purchase property next year, and so at the end of this year, they want to present to the bank their documentation for that money to be moved so that they can start their building project. So, Tamika, Pastor Tamika, welcome to the call this morning. You are live with Dr. Price.
Hello, Dr. Price.
Hello, 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 Pastor Tamika. You know, I'm excited when people want to take land. You know, I get excited about that. I have a special prayer power for that.
Yes, ma'am. We actually purchased land. Well, we was trying to do like step by step, but God bless it. Last year, we wasn't looking for commercial, and well, we actually in Rayford, North Carolina. I'm in Fayetteville. I live in Fayetteville, but our church is in Rayford, North Carolina, about 20 minutes from us. And we purchased land. Well, we're paying on land, and we kind of try to take it slow, but it seems as God put us in fast forward. So. We were trying to take it slow, and God put us in fast forward, and we now in the process of, at the end of the year, praying to present to the bank, and next year, break ground. So just the right people in place. We had a couple things, a couple stumbling blocks. My husband stood up and, you know, stood and as the man of God he is, and let him know what God said and what vision God gave us. And I believe we went over that hurdle. But just for prayer, for strength, you know, different things been coming against the ministry, but we've been praying, we've been fasting, and the people have been standing together just for prayer and strength for the ministry and for me and my husband.
I will do it, but let me ask you a question. You say by the end of the year you need to present what to the bank?
We need the they want us to present $20,000 to the bank, at least $20,000, and then they want us to present all the paperwork, our bank work, and but we need to come with they more so the bank. They said the bank situation with our church is fine. They just still need us to have basically they want money, a certain amount of money in the bank other than what you bring in every month with your tithes and your offerings.
Well, yeah, they want to make sure it's a good investment, and since we're keeping people, we know good investment need to be confirmed. So we're not upset about that. $20,000, my goodness, girl, you can sneeze that. Listen, we're going to sneeze at it. Yes, it's not hard. Come on, it's not hard. That's not a sneeze. But let me just tell you this. Come on, you're getting over clean. But let me ask you this. What assignments have you given your people to be responsible for bringing that money in?
My husband, we did something we call Sow It, Don't Blow It, and we was bringing in, like, everybody made a pledge to bring in a certain amount of money. Majority brought it in, got some little stragglers, so we brought in a certain amount, but we had to go ahead and pay for our plans for the church, and that was almost like $6,000. And we finished that, which they said that counts for us towards the $20. So we did that. Now we're doing other little building funds and outside things that won't so much pull from each individual, but them to work individually, but us together. So we've been doing different little building fund things, different building fund things as they kind of come up in our spirit or ideas. And they have been working. It's just, you still got to pay out your other areas in the ministry. So we are setting the money we're getting now, the different things we're doing on the side, we're setting that towards the $20,000.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. Now, God's going to bring in this $20,000. That's not going to be a problem for you or your husband, but I want to tell you something. If you ever want your people to be disappointed, tell them they're paying for one thing and you do something else.
Okay, we try to let them know what we're doing with what.
Yeah, but I mean, if you say we're doing $20,000, it's going to go for the building, then you're going to have to take and make sure that $20,000 goes for the building, and they see it doing that. Now, granted, we're struggling to make things happen as people of God and whatever, but do your best to make sure that what they believe they're doing, they are doing, and show it to them. Let them know it every week. Okay, we're this one now. This is here. This is there. Because they need to know that what the vision that they're buying into is the vision that they're paying for and that what they're going to get. I want you to just remember that. That's just off the cuff. That's just called that free-floating counsel. Just free.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just free-float. Don't even try to figure it out. Just say, okay, God, I'm going to put that in my bank with my $20,000. That's how we're going to do it. Next thing is, because you're talking about simply what you're talking about. If we're in June, you talk about end of the year. So for 6 months, you just want to calculate. Obviously, you all have done this. If your husband is who I think he is, you've already calculated that $20,000 is $1,000, 1,000 people doing. I mean, 20 people doing 1,000. 40 people doing 500. You see how that goes?
Yes,
it
ma'am.
It's a piece of cake, and I'm sure you've done that. So I'm going to pray because a couple of things have to happen. Number one, that the people buy into the vision, but you are going to have to make a real big deal about them doing this. It's got to be like exciting. Like we had people, we had a fundraiser once, and it was so effective, it stunned us. And that is, people have, how the people go through little goal things. But we had a lot of people who just had this old stuff that they were sitting around or whatever, and the people brought the money because of that. We had other people who took on like cleaning jobs for 6 weeks or whatever for 6 weeks and took that money and 100% devoted it to the project. So there are a lot of strategies that are out there. You guys seem to be very much on the right track, and you sound like you're excited about doing it. So I'm going to stand in my place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, let it be so. I dispatch the powers that be in your land, the powers that be both spiritually and naturally and politically, to see to it that every nickel, dime, and penny you need, and that we're not calling for $20,000, but we're calling for $25,000 so that you would have a cushion, because God is the God of a cushion. So we're calling for $25,000. But make sure if you have to turn on lights, you're not going to turn on lights with that. You got to use your faith to turn on lights with something else. So that here's why I'm saying this, because if we ask God for something and he does it, and then we have to do something else, it looks like he didn't do it. And so we want to make sure God gets his glory in this deal. And so we're going to see to it that God gets his glory in this. No matter what happens, if you have to have dual track faith, you know, you sound like you're very prophetic to me. As a matter of fact, you sound quite apostolic. So if you have that dual track faith, and I want you to think in terms of Elisha, you know, there is a double portion anointing, and that anointing is not just to preach. That double portion anointing is for whatever we need at the time we need it. And if you're in God's service, you can ask for that. So I'm asking God to give you a double portion anointing for finances, and also not just for finances to make it, but for the authority in the realm of finance to manifest.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
I'm asking you to do it. Now, here's what you got to do, because a lot of times we pray these prayers and people go home and just sit and do life. And say, I expect you to drown yourself in things about money. Because, see, what you bathe in is what you're going to get washed in, and what you get washed in is what you're going to walk away smelling like. So
yes,
you are going to take classes and put your people in training classes, because one of the things I found out, one of the best ways to raise money is to start teaching your people about money and then start having them work on the classes that they're learning and bringing that money in to your church. That is one of the things that I've learned over the years, because what you preach is what people will reap.
Yes, ma'am.
And so you and God have a big project. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I'm asking God to bless your husband with the business idea. Your church needs businesses. He is extraordinarily apostolic. He is very, very apostolic, although he has the mantle of a bishop on his life. He is very apostolic, and God says that he needs businesses, and God wants him to go out and start businesses. And there are some ideas that he's been toying with. He needs to do it. Don't make a church that's built on just what the people give. The people will give more when you give them a paycheck. So I'm telling you, your husband is called to start businesses in that region for your church. Now, I don't know what he does, but that's what God is calling him to do. And you two have some great ideas and some great witty inventions that you can do to bring this money in. So we're going to bring it in through offerings, and we're going to bring it in through, you know, the sacrifice of the people, but you all start enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't do that. You know, churches can have a franchise. You can have a little bit of little kiosk or something there, but there are many, many ways to get it that doesn't have to bankrupt the people. Because here's what's going to happen, and trust me on this word, I have seen it over and over again. You want to have businesses, and you want to have other ways, because once the people push to get the building done, if they are depleted, both their faith and their strength, they're going to sit down on you and not be able to help you keep it.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
So you don't want that to be your response. That's why so many people say, but we were so great. And yeah, they were all with us when we were building. And now that we're in here, they're gone. They're not gone. They're tired. And because they're tired and they're confused and there's been no replenishment, they're expended. So I always tell leaders, don't expend your people's faith to the end, you know? So if you have other ways that you can do things, my suggestion to you, my beloved, is that you and your husband get those businesses going. I don't care what they are. You'd be surprised how many things they have out there that can literally generate decent income for your work. But when you start these businesses, the first 10 months of that business's revenue has got to be the tithe that you give to your church for this venture.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah.
I know. It's exciting. Let me finish praying. I have to call in some things because, you know, God's excited about this. He wants you to do this, and he wants this to work, and he wants you to do it not on a shoestring. He wants you not to do it on a feeble budget. So let's all get together. I'm joining my faith with yours on this one because it's exciting when the king gets land. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are and for all that you've done. Lord, you're a great God. Jesus, you're just a sugar pie, God, and we love you. We're glad that you're our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I release to you, my beloved, Psalm 24:1. That is your word. That is your mandate. That is the thing God is doing with you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes.
They that dwell therein. So God is going to enable you to tap all of that. So Father, I thank you for bringing people out of the woodwork, bringing people out of nowhere who are tied to them for this venture, bringing thinkers and planners and strategists, God. Don't let them just look at what they see and say, God, we hope. But let them begin to spread out their faith and issue forth edicts from their heart to bring bring this thing in, and we bless you for it, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Now, listen, you're going to keep me posted. You're not going to leave me hanging on this, right?
No, ma'am, I'm not. My husband here, too.
Did he hear what I said?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, because he's a blessed man. Tell him, don't miss this window, because you have a time, sir, to go out and to follow those dreams that you've been wondering if they were God or not. Well, God says he's called you to be a very successful entrepreneur, and if you put your shoulder to the plow, a very wealthy one.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you. Stay with me, guys. I'd love to hear the end of this.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless.
Bless you.
Okay, Ashley.
I like that. It's like that, in proximity prophecy. You're right there. Just got that word. That's great.
Well, you know what? And it's so ironic because, of course, I didn't know he was there, but God felt like he should talk to him. Isn't God good? God's a sugar.
I love it. And he's apostolic. Well, actually, he has bishop's mantle. Oh, okay. Well, all right then. That's all right. Okay.
God is a good God.
He is. We have next on the line here, Sandra. Excuse me. Sandra, and she needs to understand the office of the prophet in her life. She's experiencing some confusion, some mental fog there, and needs some insight on how this office pertains to her life. Let me see. Sandra, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. You are on the line with Dr. Price.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Sandra. Where are you from again?
Arkansas.
Arkansas?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, your phone is blinking in and out. That's why I keep asking you questions. Hey, I'm glad that you're on the line. Now, we're going to talk this through a little bit. Now, what is it about the apostolic that you feel pertains to you? Did someone prophesy that you're an apostle or something like that?
No, not an apostle, but a prophet. I've gotten numerous prophecies on it, and also I've had experiences where, like, two o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I have heard my name, and I jump up out of my bed, and I will go, and I will, look through the house and, see if anyone is awake, and everybody is in the house asleep. And this has happened, numerous of times, and I've, went to people who I thought that were, seasoned, and they would laugh, and they were like, okay, that's happened to me. Okay, well, explain to me, what is it?
Yeah,
and it was just only, ma'am.
And I said, yeah, I hear you.
And, then a couple of times I've had experiences where I'm, ministering, and like the spirit of intimidation will come over me, especially if it's someone that has been in the ministry way longer than I have. Like the spirit of intimidation tries to keep me from releasing, what God has, spoken for me to tell, someone.
Okay, so let me ask you. And we're going to get to the heart of the matter, and we're going to have these answers a little shorter so I can cover what I need to cover with you. Number one, are you a prophet now? Are you a prophet now, and are you attached to anybody, a church or anything, in that capacity?
I am attached. My pastor, his wife is a prophet.
Okay.
So she has me up under her wing, and she's, training me, and a couple of times she's told me that I'm just far behind.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. All right, but now let me ask you this then. The next thing I want to know is, where did this apostolic piece come in? You're telling me about your prophetic experiences and activities, but where is the apostolic piece coming in?
Well, you said where the apostolic kingdom.
Yeah, because you said you had questions about the apostolic. Is that right?
Uh huh.
Okay. Now, what is prompting those questions?
Let me go back. I purchased your book, The Dictionary, about 2 years ago. And so I'm trying to get into it. Now, I do have the Prophet's Handbook ordered because, you know, I was told that that goes hand in hand. And I'm just trying to make sense and, you know,
okay,
just
so
make
just
sense of that experience.
Okay, so you're just trying to get information. So let me just tell you a couple of things. Number one, have you taken my assessment, my online assessment?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is when this call is over, and, you know, we hang up because you might get more answers if you stay on the line, but when we're done with this call today, I want you to go to drpaulaprice.com, and I want you to click, I want to take an assessment. And when you do that, it's going to lead you through it so that you can take your assessment. Once it's done and it is scored, then you'll get an opportunity to talk to one of our prophet advisors, and not prophetic advisor, prophet advisor, or better yet, advisor prophets, and they're going to be able to tell you what your results say. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to get so much information on what God has put in you that you're going to find out whether or not you're behind. And if you are lagging behind, it's going to tell you what to do. This thing is so great. And because of your intelligence and your interest, I'm going to give you these little bit of hints. Number one, it's going to tell you the first thing God called you to do, your dominant office or manifestation or gifting. It's going to tell you that. The second thing it's going to tell you is your secondary one. That your secondary one is that other thing that you do that makes the first thing happen. And then it's going to tell you the best environment. For example, if you are a prophet or you're called to be a prophet in the church, it's going to tell you that. But if you are not, it's going to tell you that too, so that you don't waste your time trying to get accepted in the church. See, that's important. Then it's going to give you intelligence, emotional intelligence, and then it's going to tell you about your readiness, what you need to be ready. And it gives you a plan, a literal roadmap that walks it out for you so that all of those things that you need to find out about you, because before you can find out about the prophetic, you need to find out about the prophetic in you before you find out about it in ministry and in an institution. And you're going to know about you. And that's what our advisor prophets are going to do. They're going to walk you through your results, tell you what they mean, and help you shape your readiness plan so that you can do that. So that's the first thing I want you to do, is I want you to take that assessment. You, I believe, with all my heart, will benefit from it. The next thing I want to tell you is that you are going to, when you read, when you get the handbook, it's going to help you. But I want you to know, I don't know what kind of training you're in. I don't know what kind of training your pastor's wife is giving you or anything like that. But when you talk to our advisor prophet, they're going to make some suggestions to you as well. That's going to help. So I can tell you a whole lot of things, but right now we need to know who you are prophetically. For example, we have the assessment, for example, will say, you know, your most dominant manifestation or office is that of a prophet or an evangelical prophet or an apostolic prophet or whatever, because you need to understand that all prophets are not cookie cutters. We're not cut from the same. We may be coming from the same dough, but we're not in the same place. And so you need to know that. From the moment you get that, Sandra, you are going to be able to go forward in your call, and you're going to definitely appreciate your training and readiness. The last thing I want to say is if you are free, you're only in Arkansas, you need to be at my forum this year. It's the end of the month. When you go online, you'll see it because we're talking it all the time. You need to be there so that you can be around people and find yourself, because what I've learned is that prophets who do not have a prophetic company in their church flounder, and they're like fish out of water, because we drink from each other, we draw strength from each other, and all of that. And so, and you need to see all of the other ways that this office manifests. And when you come to the forum, believe me, beloved, you are going to be a changed woman. You're going to get answers that you're craving. Your soul is going to get fed. Your mantle is going to get treated, your prophet spirit is going to get alive and awakened and instructed, and you're going to love it. So that's my counsel to you today. Number one, you want to do the assessment. Number two, the books are great, but you still need training, and you need to have focused training. And the last thing is you should be at the forum. Now, when we talk about training, here's the last piece, because I'm excited about you. I'm excited about what God is about to do in your life. But the last piece I want to tell you, any old training won't do. And we have treated it like it's any old, it's okay. Well, you know, everybody can just do any old kind of thing. But that, not everybody can awaken you. Not everybody can empower you. Not everybody can trigger that opening, because you need people who can trigger that prophet spirit in you to make happen what God hidden in your soul. So those are the things that I have for you. And if you don't have anything else, I'm going to pray. But I wanted to get that out so that you can follow a plan, because it seems like you just need a plan to follow.
Yes, ma'am.
All right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, then I'm going to, now here, something else. Don't worry about remembering what I said. This is recorded, and it's not only recorded, it'll be on, it's on the site. You can come back and listen to it again and again and again. Father, thank you for Sandra. Thank you for who she is. Thank you for the call that you have on her life. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the prophets, the spirit of prophecy, and the great prophet of all the earth, I'm asking you to take up her cause, to take up her training, and take up her readiness for your glory, for your sake, God. So you begin to shape her and mold her with what you have in mind. And God, I thank you that you cause her to fall in good hands. I thank you that you cause her to be in good mentorship. But God, most of all, I thank you that you guard and keep her and lead her throughout this period so that she is useful to you for ministry. You know, Paul said about Timothy and about Mark, he said, but they're useful to me for ministry. And I thank you, Lord, that she is mentored and nurtured and trained by people who will make her useful to you for prophetic ministry. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so I expect you to tell me that you have that assessment and your mind is blown and you're ready to get on with the program.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you, thank you.
You're welcome. Ashley.
I just love God's people. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick 90-second commercial spot for the assessments. I mean, you set it up, Dr. Price. We're going to have to take the bait.
Well, that is great. How about it?
All right, and then when we come back, Prophet Jonathan Ferguson is on the line, and he is ready for you to do your segment with him.
I'm excited about it.
All right.
How would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Okay, if God has called you to it, we do want to help you do it. Right now, Dr. Price, Prophet Jonathan Ferguson is on the line. Prophet Jonathan, welcome to the Paula Price Show, sir.
How's it going? It's good to be here.
It's going well. Dr. Price?
I am here. I decided to hang in since you were going to have this wonderful guest. I thought I'd just go on and hang in with the program. How are you, Prophet?
I'm great. Prophet Price, it's good to be online with you.
Oh, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. I was excited that we got you because you are a very busy man. Before I go, let me go forward and say congratulations on your baby girl that you're expecting.
Yeah, thank you. We were expecting a boy. But, you know, Apostle, you told us about the girl when you began to prophesy to me in the office when you were here in Marion. Mm-hmm. So I should have took that as a sign. But we're very excited.
Well, yeah. You know what that means. That means you just have to keep at it till we get the boy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the line. And I know that you're excited. Have you all picked out a name yet?
Yes, we have. We picked out Hannah Elizabeth.
Oh, what a beautiful name. That's a that's a name of destiny for sure. For
oh, yeah.
Sure.
Through their birth, the two transitional prophets in
yes.
the scripture.
And two prophets that had to rely on God for the greatest moments in their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that powerful? So here's what we're doing, and the reason we're asking you is because you have so graciously consented to be one of our teachers and speakers at the forum this year. Now, you've never been there, but you've been hearing us talk about it, but you have had a taste of us because you were there when I visited you in Arkansas. But I have wanted you to come on to just share what you think God is doing. No, not what you think, because as a prophet, we know he either is or isn't. So what you know God to be doing prophetically and how you feel after our encounter, especially how you feel your participation at the forum this year will be a part of making that happen.
Well, I feel like God is shifting the prophetic back into full throttle, really, if I can say and articulate it like that. I feel that the harvest has always been plentiful, and that when we think kingdom and we think ministry, I believe God has been elevating our mentality of how broad that is and how many he wants to touch. And over the years, you know, over the last couple of decades, you know, ministry has gotten very mega. And even as I'm talking about this, I was hearing about a testimony in a book where a guy had a vision, and there were different platforms with different preachers. And the more they preached, the stronger their authority was in their voices. But he said they were strapped with weapons, and they were preaching with more authority, but they didn't have the power to back it up. And I believe that represents the body of Christ and how it's been, and ministry has been really expanding over the television and over the internet, but we don't yet see the type of impact that the Bible speaks of in the book of Acts, the type of reformation and actual repentance and a transformation of people's lives. So I believe where ministry has gotten big and has even become big business, but there have been people in the forefront that have not been carrying the fullness of what they claim to be called to. So I believe people like yourself, who God has used to really articulate what the apostolic is, what the prophetic is, and I believe he's raising up a company of people that will go into those same arenas where ministry has been almost become just big business and make a greater impact in this hour. People who really understand what they're called to do, understand and know their place, know their lane. And it reminds me of the book of Joel, when the Bible talks about the army in the last days and how they won't break their ranks. And I believe God is calling his people, especially his ministers and people in the forefront, leaders, to the place where they know their calling, their master, the area of the calling that God has anointed them for. And it forms an army of generals, and it forms an army of soldiers and people who, like the centurion, he said, I know authority because I'm under authority. And I think God is raising up specialists in this hour who are very professional in their anointing. I know that sounds like a mouthful. Am I going all over the place, or am I asking
you? No, well, you know, I'm excited. You know, I love when I talk to prophets and apostles. I get really excited anyhow because, you know, we have that symbiosis that make us coagulate. When one starts communicating, then the other starts climbing. You know how it goes. So, no, it's very clear, articulated very clear. You clearly laid out the issue that God is facing. You also have you addressed the obstacles in your conversation, which I thought was amazing. You know, we have these great people out here who are who have a platform and no real power because they don't have the power tools. You know, you can have a platform without the power tools. We've obviously seen that, and I think that's great. You also talked about the need for order, structure, definition, articulation, and all of the things that intelligent beings and intelligent societies need to be effective. Yes, to me, that's what you're mentioning. But as you were talking, two things came up that I was excited about when you talked about how the people aren't seeing the signs, they aren't seeing the power. You know, our forum is always entitled the Daniel Prophetic Era. And the reason that it's entitled Daniel as all of the prophets that God has is because Daniel was a prophet of God in Babylon, where the supernatural reigned. Where God had already deported his people had already decided they didn't want him any longer, and so God is retaining his control and his dominion by raising Daniel up in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, Daniel gets trained for Nebuchadnezzar's court. That is a powerful thought. And it doesn't say God cursed, rebuked. Why? Because where the word of a king is, there is power. So Nebuchadnezzar is the king, and he said, you're going to work in my court? You're going to work in my court. You're going to know how I do business? You're going to know how I do it. But the fact that he chose Daniel is amazing. Kings don't choose junk. You know, kings have to choose what's going to make them win. They have huge egos, huge mandates, and huge objectives, and so they're going to choose the best of the best. And so Daniel proved to be that. I thought that was interesting that you said that, because Daniel's mantle is one we don't know about. But the thing that always struck me about him was his training. That king required him to be trained for 3 years. And then his final exam was before the king, not the teacher, the king. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back in that time, if you failed the king, you hopefully went home with your life.
Mm.
You know, have you ever thought about that? Isn't that amazing?
You know, it reminds me, I know I hear you speak a lot about the training necessary for the prophetic office and, you know, in the apostolic as well. And that makes me think of that in lines of how Jesus discipled the original 12 and how their training period was 3 years also. And the Lord began to speak to me. Actually, yesterday I picked up the paper to look at the forum topics, and that's the first thing I saw about Daniel in Babylon. And I thought about how when Jesus picked the 12, he picked people who were already professional. And it really hit my spirit, because what's happening in the body of Christ, we have people who have ministry aspiration, but they don't have professionalism. And Jesus picked businessmen. He picked tax collectors. He picked doctors, people who had already proven themselves. And I believe the training period, first of all, because we don't have people that understand the weight of the call and the importance of being trained. And then also because they haven't had any personal advancement in their lives yet. So the training period goes a little longer than really what it could, because people, we're almost babysitting people who want to be in ministry and want to have platforms.
Well, you know what we're doing, we're having fun with, like you said, with the aspirants. You know, they're envisioning, and we're actually training people according to the way the office needs, but they're receiving our training according to their vision and their aspirations. So that's our problem. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because you also train prophets. You have a school of the prophets, which I'm, you know, we've talked about before. And we have a new book out, and we'd love for you to just run on that for a little bit just before we wind up our time together. Can't let you go without you talking about your School of the Prophets and your brand new book.
Okay, yeah. Well, the School of the Prophets is pretty much it's an on-demand school online at my website at jcfnow.com, and it's only 15 classes on demand, and it's kind of like an initiator-type school. It covers a lot, and pretty much the new book is called Prophets 101, and the book covers the material that's covered in the classes online.
Wow.
So it deals with a lot, the training that's necessary to the call, and the four spheres of the prophetic, only four spheres of the prophetic that I deal with, and kind of deals with how prophets are relevant to our modern day culture and how prophets invoke the supernatural. It's a mouthful, and some pretty much some ancient things that the prophets dealt with, like Jezebel and how they reference to our today's time and the battle and what prophets are called to confront and how they overcome them. And it's a lot going on in that book.
Well, I know about the book because I had the privilege of doing a forward for it, and I read it, and I thought, my goodness, this is a great tool for beginning prophetics. And for those of you who are on the call, I heartily recommend it. I thought, and what I like is that it's fundamental, you know. So we have already adopted it as part of our beginning prophetic training because I think it's a great tool. And again, I like how you say, well, you know, let's start with the fundamentals. We're going to do these. You get through these 15 things, you might be ready to take on something weightier in the prophetic. I wanted to go back to one more thing that you said, and that is how Jesus picked his initial 12 apostles to train them, and that they had a 3-year training, a little bit more than 3 years, about 3.5 years training. But here's the thing. Jesus is a king. Nebuchadnezzar was a king. And you have to recognize people who have achieved, which is why I love what you said, that people who have achieved don't need as long a training period as those who have not. When I first came to Tulsa, I was trying to do all of these amazing things with people who had never been successful in their lives. Hey, you guys who are on the phone right now, you leaders, stop trying to make successes out of people who can't relate to, people who have never been successful. Don't make them successful, try to help you be a success if they've never been successful in their lives. Spend a little time developing them and spend a little time letting them see breakthroughs in their own life because they can't even hear what you're saying. They can't fathom it, and what they hear, it hurts. If they take it as criticism, they take it as punishment, they take it as insults and humiliation. And none of those things are what you mean, but the person who has fought to break through, finish school, find a business, have a thriving ministry, something. That person is what he's saying. That person is a great candidate for your big project. A lot of times we want to do big projects with little people, and it just can't work. They can't bear up under the pressure, and they can't understand what we're saying. So I thought that comment that you made, I didn't want to just let that go. It's too important and too valuable. So we're going to see you at the end of the month.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
I am too. And you said you looked at your paper, so you can pretty much let them know that it's pretty structured. What did you think about your topic?
You mean the Babylonian?
Yes.
Say it again.
Yes, the topic that you have, that we have you doing, because, you know, we give everybody a topic. And I want to just let me interject this. We give them a topic because we're trying to accomplish something and we're on a path. If it's a training, then we need to have people who are going to speak into the training and not folk who are going to bring their thing, because that's not what you go to school for, you know? So that's what I was asking you about. Yes, so you appreciate that, don't you?
I really do. I wrote a lot about it in the book, actually. So I think I'm pretty prepared for it, and I think the Lord is going to speak to me some things relevant to the people there also that I did not include in the book. So I'm excited about it.
I am too, and I want to say to everybody, he will have copies of his book. So listen, now you have an even greater reason to join us the end of the month at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2013. We're excited about all of you who are coming. Our registrations are filling up. It is, you know, space is limited. So all of you all who haven't signed up, do that. If you live in Arkansas or Kansas or any place that's in driving distance, don't miss this opportunity. It is a great time for you to come and sharpen your prophetic sword and get that edge you need to cross over to the next level. I thank you so much, Prophet Jonathan Ferguson, for talking to me today. It is wonderful to hear your voice. I can't even tell you how excited I was to meet you in Marion when we were there, but I am so looking forward to you coming here and spending this time with us. Thanks so much for joining us, though.
Thank you. We're looking forward to bringing the group with us, so we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm really excited. And you have to tell that lovely, powerful apostle of yours that I said hi. Absolutely love that woman. She's amazing. God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Thanks,
Kathy. See you soon. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Well, Ashley?
That was good. That was good.
Isn't he amazing? He's an amazing young man.
He is. What I love about the forum is that it pulls together the different mantle types. It's not a cookie-cutter event where you feel like even though the faces change, the message doesn't. You know, it's just kind of like more of the same. And what I love is that that is not the Tulsa Prophetic Forum at all. You reach for the diversity in mantles, what somebody can bring to it, and that everybody isn't the same puppet on a string, and it's not the same rehashed, well, I guess it can't really be the same rehashed revelation, you know? It's fresh revelation each year, and it's not the same rehashed information time and time again.
I agree. Well, you know, the thing is, when I first started doing events, and you remember when we first started doing this, we don't even know how many years ago, but when I first started, God says, I pull people together for a particular subject or issue. And so it's a journey. And so my first year, I wanted to have all of the pop voices because, well, I wanted to do that. And it was, I walked away confused myself, and I thought I knew what I was doing. But when I saw God was the truth, I was like, you know, when you get the one that says, hey, God gave me this revelation, but God didn't give me that. And actually, God told me that that revelation was wrong, so God gave me this. And then, and it became a competitive thing and a rivalry with everybody posturing for the voice of the moment or the revelation of the hour. But that didn't work for me. So that's when we started structuring ours a little bit. We give our speakers, you know, syllabus outlines, and they get to, they can fill them in with that, whatever they want, but they have topics and they have things they must accomplish. Those of you who are listening, this is not going to be a preach-a-thon. We're not going to just roll one preacher after another in front of you hoping that you can get it. You have, I mean, you have breaks, you have activities. This is a real working event. That's why you heard them say they're bringing a group. We have several groups coming. Why? Because leaders are interested in their people getting intelligent and useful information. And so you want to bring your group. You may not be able to afford to bring, you know, the, have a class, or you may not even have a class, or may not have the teachers, but you get these powerful people who are coming in who are going to impart specific, useful information to your people. So when this call is over, make sure you call our offices and say, hey, I'm going to register my group. We are coming in. We're bringing this many. We have special discounts and rates for groups and all of that because we want the body of Christ to get it, and we want prophecy. I told God when I was, you know, crying about who I was, I said, but God, I want the baddest prophets on the planet. That's why Daniel speaks to me, because Daniel was amazing, and we'll talk to you about how, what made him amazing when you get here to the forum. But I want people, I want super prophets. I don't want soupy prophets. I don't want therapy prophets. I want super prophets of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kind that he can get a thing done with. So if you're that kind of a person, hey, we're in. So call and register your group and register for yourself after it's over. Well, Ashley, what are we doing next? Because, you know, I've been working you pretty hard today. You've been hanging tough.
Hey, this is what Thursdays are all about.
I know. Aren't they exciting?
They are. It is the top of the hour, so we're going to do our top of the hour reel. And then we're going to come back with Apostle Alexander Gray. You know, he's back on the line. It's been a while since we've heard from him.
Yes, I have missed him. Didn't I just call his name?
You did.
I called him, man. I said, where is my friend?
We'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can His leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have, if you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Through her weekly broadcast, online services, and books and materials, Dr. Price has had the privilege of being part of so many lives. Week after week, we look forward to hearing how God is breaking you through and how your life has been changed. We want to hear these stories. Will you take a moment to share your experience with us? Visit www.drpaulaprice.com, scroll down, and click on Share My Story today. Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.
And we certainly do enjoy Dr. Paula Price in our living room, in our cars, in our earbuds, wherever we are. We enjoy Dr. Paula Price being there. So supporting what the Lord is doing through this is very, very important. All right, Dr. Price, are you ready for who's next?
You know I am. You know I absolutely am. Come on, put him through.
All right. Apostle Gray, you are on the line with Dr. Paula Price.
Hallelujah. God bless you, General Apostle.
I have missed you. Where have you been? I said to Ashley, I said, this man has quit me. Where has he gone? I have not heard from Apostle Greg.
I've been on the calls but haven't been getting through, but I've been under some heavy attacks, but some mighty blessings has manifested through. I was in car accidents back-to-back, one in March the 29th, and then one in May 11th, just recently May 11th.
Ooh, so that means that you were tearing up some devil stuff, huh?
Yeah, two car accidents back-to-back with me and my wife in it.
How's everybody?
Everybody's fine, just back pain in my back and my neck. My wife got back pain in her back and her neck. You know, I just bless God for the angels, man. The angels just protected us something awesomely. And the Lord has been giving me a lot of different dreams, prophetic dreams. The prophetic anointing went to a higher level with dates, numbers, months. Open doors. I'll be in North Carolina for 3 days doing a three-day meeting in Lubbock, North Carolina. I'm getting invitations from Africa, Pakistan, India. So God is just really overwhelming with some stuff right about now, me and my family. Money is coming in from every different direction, north, east, west, and south. People that owe me money are showing up. Number sevens are showing up all around me. I go to the gas pump, it's number seven pump. If I look at a truck, it's number seven. If I get a check, it's number seven. Everything is seven, 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 sevens. So the Lord has really been doing a lot of things in my life, my wife's life. Also, I'm releasing my first book this year. My first book will be released this year. I'm looking for a publisher right about now to release my first book. The Lord has provided the funds, so I set $1,000 aside for that book to be published. So God is doing some wonderful things, General Apostle.
Well, listen, this sounds like you sound like you're like floating on the highest of the highest clouds. I'm glad to hear it. I just wanted to make sure that you were still on a planet, that you hadn't just been raptured away and didn't nobody let us know.
Nah, I was really excited about the prophet that just came on, because as I'm conversing with different men of God, I just did the forward to a book that just came out called The Creative Power of the Tongue. The Lord just gave me a blessing. I just did the forward to that. And as I'm ministering to brothers and talking to them, they're saying the same thing the young prophet is saying concerning that people have a lot of form, charismatic witchcraft and entertainment, but no power, no book of Acts. And the Lord is really calling for the breed of world shakers and world movers now. So I was really excited. My spirit was really jumping, you know, when the prophet was talking, because this is what God has been really dealing with me with my spirit. I wrote something on Facebook the other day. The Lord asked me a question. He said, what is a real preacher? And then I said, what? He said, what is a real preacher that I like? He said, all the stuff that people are preaching now, that's not the preacher that I like. He said, the preacher is a reacher. one who reached down deep within themselves and give me to the people. He said, my people are seeing the color green instead of red. It's time for them to see red again. And because they don't choose to see red, which is the blood of my son Jesus, the devil is making them see red now. And, I mean, he's been speaking to me concerning the church, concerning what is a preacher, you know, and all this entertainment and showmanship and how many numbers you got. He's getting tired of that. He doesn't like it. He's getting ready to revamp a lot of stuff. And sad to say, Apostle, but he's getting ready to take some leaders off the planet because he said, quote, unquote, Dr. Zachary Timms was a sign, but the church didn't listen. They went back to sleep, so he got to send another one.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like you and God have been having some deep visitations and some great things, but I'm glad to hear you made it through your accident, you got up to the next level in Jesus Christ, you've got some rich words and rich things to say, and you got a book to publish. And listen, call my office and we may have a publisher for you. When you call Prophet Ashley and she sees she can help you out. But in the meantime, I want you to be blessed. I pray for your family. I pray for your children. I pray for your ministry and the work that you have, that God will continue the resurgence that he's had and the blessings that he's been pouring on you. Listen, God said for you to walk in peace and calm no matter what.
Amen.
He said, walk in peace and calm no matter what. So I'm glad to hear from you. So now listen, before I let you go, do you need me to pray for anything? Because it sounds like you got it going on, and I've enjoyed the testimony.
Of course I need prayer for the pain that's in my neck and my back, and also that I choose the right doors, because there's so many doors that is open now. That I choose the right doors, and also my marriage, because my marriage has been under a heavy attack.
Wow. Well, you know, whenever you move up to another level, baby, you got to take on the princes of that level in order for you to have your rightful place and to wield the sword that God put in your hand. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. You are amazing, Jesus Christ. You are amazing. And we thank you. We thank you that we are your servants. We're your messengers. We're your people and the sheep of your pasture. I thank you for Apostle Gray. I'm thanking you for opening up his life and changing his testimony. God, giving him a praise that he's been waiting for and longing for a long time. We prayed for him for nearly a year. Now, God, we're seeing the fruit. God, I thank you for saving his family, saving him in that accident. Now I'm asking that you would send forth healing to his body. Make sure that he gets in the hands of the right practitioners. But God, I'm asking that you would expedite the healing processes. Lord, I speak peace to that marriage. I command the sword of contention that's in that marriage to leave in Jesus' name. God, I reassert the bonds of matrimony and forge a tighter bond than they've ever had before. And Lord, I thank you for the last thing, that he would have a discernment of what doors will open and won't, and what doors he should enter and not enter. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to say one thing to you before you go. I want to say this one thing, and I'm going to move on to my next caller, but I have to give you this word. God says to tell you that just because somebody says it's a door doesn't mean that it's a door, and that you will go through, there are several opportunities. You're going to go through a lot of trouble to go through that door, and it's not going to be a door. So God said, be very careful and heed his voice, because there are times that God has been talking to you when people were making you promises, and you believe the people rather than the voice of the Lord is here. So be very careful about that in the future.
Amen. I receive that.
Amen. Well, listen, don't stay away so long, and by all means, let us know how the Lord continues to move you forward. And make that call. We might have a publisher for you. God bless.
I'm going to do that as soon as you have finished the call.
All right. God bless you.
Bless you, Apostle.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I love you.
Love you, too. You're a wonderful man of God.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, Ashley. Prophet Ashley.
Oh. All right, got to keep the generals on the wall there, Dr. Price.
Yeah, we need them all, babe. We can't have them getting banged around like that. That can't be. That's not useful to the king.
No. Okay, we have next on the line, this is Kimberly from Georgia, and she and her husband have been trying to conceive for a year and a half, and it appears they're having some difficulty, so she would like prayer concerning her fertility. Kimberly, excuse me, you're on the line with Dr. Price.
Good afternoon, Dr. Price.
Good afternoon, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My
husband and I have been trying for about a year and a half to conceive, and at some point we've done all the testings and everything, because of course the doctors would tell you something else. I've had a couple of prophets of God speak into my life, and they've confirmed over, and it's just been a confirmation from at least two or three people that God is going to bless us. And I just really want to pray that we won't, meaning my husband and I, we won't get weary just because it's not happening. And that God, you know, we strongly believe that God has promised us and we stand on his word. So we're just praying. I just really want prayer for us just to keep believing, to keep trusting, and to not be weary, because it's not happening in our time.
Well, how long have you been married?
We've been married, July is going to be 2 years.
So 2 years, and you're going to get weary after 2 years?
Well, no, we're not really weary after 2 years, because one of the prophets who spoke to me, she told me to really meditate on the book of Samuel and the story of Hannah. And after reading that story, it really sunk into my spirit where, you know, we are and what God is trying to do with us. So not and it's just sometimes, it's not all the time, but it's just sometimes I find myself, especially me, you know, getting to that place where I'm disappointed or, you know, I start to feel down. But I really want for God to just take that away from me, because I know that's not how I should be.
Well, let me ask you. I'm going to ask you questions, because you know I'm that kind of person. Do you mind me asking you your age range? How old are you?
38.
Okay, so you're ticking because you feel like your clock is ticking down.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the reason I ask, and I promise you, I'm excited about you. I'm glad you called. But I asked because you were talking, and God said, tell her about a late-in-life baby and the John the Baptist that's got to come from your womb. So I have to, that's why I asked you for your age, because I felt like if he was giving me that word often, and please, when this is over, call my office and ask Prophet Ashley for the teaching on the, and I do several teachings on this, for the why God makes some women wait. You know, you realize that the most interesting thing about Hannah and Elizabeth, you know, John the Baptist's mom, Sarah, the three things that they had in common is they could not produce babies before their body had reached a certain level of maturity. Anybody who's on the line today, this is not even, I mean, we don't even have to talk scientific or whatever, just natural observation. You realize that a baby had later in life tends to be wiser. Now, while they are subject to, according to, you know, science, they may be subject to various deformities, which I know is a lie, but that's a whole other story. I mean, I know it happens, but I know it doesn't have to be. But here's what God wants you to know. Elizabeth could not have her baby early because he had to have a certain wisdom. There are things that happen in your body. There are things that you live in your life that alters your perspective, your perceptions. There are things that you know, that you learn, that are very different. For example, a 16-year-old born to a 16-year-old, a 16-year-old born to a 26-year-old, and a 16-year-old born to a 38-year-old, three different kids. And one is going to have more wisdom, because the wisdom of the parent and that sage counsel for child rearing passes on to that child. So, and there are a whole lot of other things, too. So I want you to get that teaching, because God apparently has saved your womb for a particular fruit. And he has saved your womb for fruit that has to do, that has to penetrate denseness and has to fight a lot of ignorance and naivety and arrogance. And so you are going to be at peace. Okay, that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're not going to get weary. You know, I think 2 years is a whole lot of pressure to put on your body, but I'm not going to touch that. But understand, God's going to get his John the Baptist out of you, okay? I think you spent a whole lot of money and whatnot because you, here's where my concern about you, Kimberly, if you don't mind me saying it, and that is, this is something you can't control. You have controlled your whole life. You have dictated how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that. You have you're missed master control. And so you and God are having an arm wrestle. And you're going to be, you're like Rachel. Rachel was the woman. She was the bomb. Leah was the one nobody wanted. But Rachel was the bomb. And Rachel was, when she called her, she snapped her fingers. Her daddy jumped. The service jumped. Everybody jumped. But I want you to understand that when God wants to get a kid, he wants to get the kid from your heart. And God is working his heart in you for the way he wants your child built. And he's letting you know you need him. God is making you lay on his altar just like Hannah. He made her lay on that altar and cry. And God is doing that with you because, my beloved, now, see, you're the kind of woman that I love. But, see, we're not talking about the kind of woman that I admire. We're talking about the one God wants to use. So that's two different loves, okay? So you're the kind of woman that I love. You got to control everything. You got it all planned. I mean, you got the birthdays laid out. You got it all. And also, when you get pregnant, do not have a premature delivery just because it doesn't fit your schedule. You're going to go the whole distance, and you're going to let this baby come naturally because, see, you got to have control. And God says, you're going to do this my way or no way.
Yes.
That is the word of the Lord. See, because you're that kind. And then when he, and here's what he wants you to do. If God gives, what did he do with Hannah? Hannah, I love the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus is a sugar. Let me tell you what he did. He took and gave her this child, right? But he made her wait so long for this child that she was like, anything you want me to do with it. See, you got plans. When you were 23 years old, you had plans for your kids. You had it all worked out. Names, what they're going to do, what they're going to be. God was like, not so. That's not what I want. And so he made you wait. And now, my beloved, you are going to let God do what he does with the fruit he puts in your womb. And that is why he made you wait. Because, honey, you're at a point now that if you have, you can honestly say, without hesitation, not my will, but thy will be done. And if God wants you to plant that boy in the temple to be raised as a prophet to the nations, you won't do that.
Yes, ma'am.
So you wanted a super professional son, and that's not what God had in mind. So I know I'm messing with you now, aren't I? Because, see, you wanted to, but see, God said, I'm not going to give you a son to do that. I didn't build your body for that kind of a son. I want the son I want, and I want you to use my powers and my word to raise him. Don't want him to be too religious, just a little bit spiritual. Want him to have a moral life. That's not going to happen. You are not going to have that kind of kid.
Praise God.
And if you want God to make you pregnant, you're going to have to commit to him. I don't care what your family say. I don't care what your sorority say. I don't care what anybody says. You have to commit to God to give him what he wants.
Yes, ma'am.
So are we ready to go for prayer? Because my prayers work.
Yes, they do. Thank you, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this wonderful woman. God, thank you for this latest Hannah. This latest Sarah, this latest Elizabeth, and the prophet that's coming from the womb. God, I thank you that this woman is not going to force her will on your fruit. I thank you that he's going to go to the schools, you say. He's going to be on the teams, you tell her. He's going to get the education, and she's not letting family or friends dictate how her child is going to be raised. She's going to remember the sorrow that it took for her to get this child. And like the Shunammite woman, she's going to remember that she got this child from the word of God's prophet. This baby will live, but you will not make him what God doesn't want him to be. Now, Father God, I right now open her womb by the power of the Holy Ghost. I give her complete conception. I seal that womb so that it will not miscarry. In Jesus' name. And I give you breakthrough on this thing. And you, woman of God, don't break your word to the Lord because it will be a sorrowful moment when you do. God bless you. Keep me posted. It won't be long.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Talk to you soon. Prophet Ashley.
My God, my God. I'll say it for everybody, my God. That's powerful. I was praying with you in my own room.
I mean, you said you're praying in your name. But hey, listen, I need it all. And to everybody on the line, you know, God, here's what I found out. And he was talking to me about this last night when I was in prayer. God wants things from us, and we have been taught that all the only thing in this relationship between us and the Lord is that we get what we want from him. But God wants things from us. Those of you who are waiting for the Holy Ghost to do things, you're wondering, why won't God move? Why won't he answer me? Why won't he do this? And why won't he do that? All of you who are on the line waiting, God says, I want something from you, and I want you to cut covenant. Everybody that God held up, they had to bring something to him, cut covenant, make a vow, and pay it. And we're coming into a season where Jesus said, I've given you all you what you want. Now you all need to line up. I am a king, and bring me what I want. And that's what he's looking for today. I don't care if it's a job. I don't care if it's a home. I don't care if it's healing from sickness and disease. God wants something. When I have gone through difficult times with the Lord and it's barren and looks like I have a wall, I have always found out God wanted something that I dismissed. And it seems it was irritant. It came at an inconvenient time. It didn't seem like he really wanted it, and I dismissed him. And God said, well, I'll wait. And while he waited, everything in my life came to a screeching halt until I saw him and said, what do you want? Every time God pushes through pressure, he's trying to say to you the same thing he said through Jesus Christ. Not my will, but thy will be done. There are things that some of you all, oh, God, you started, you stopped, you left churches you shouldn't have left, you left pastors you shouldn't have left, you offended this one, you got an inheritance on one person's prayer and gave the harvest to somebody else. See, there are some things that God wants, and we're going to find out in this era that God is going to have his way. And sometimes having his way is denying us ours. So that is my word on that matter. Boy, am I hot today. I told you I was hot today, Ashley. Didn't I tell you that?
You're on fire. I'm burning up.
Do I have any more calls? I want to talk to some people.
Well, that's good. You can talk to Emma from Connecticut. She is calling for prayer and direction for her business and for her life. Emma, welcome to the call.
Hello.
Well, hello, Emma. It's afternoon, so I can safely say good afternoon, my time.
Good
How
afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great, great. So you want prayer for your business. Now, what kind of business are you in, Emma?
I'm a seamstress.
You're a seamstress. Wow, I love those. My goodness, could I meet some of those here in Tulsa? Wow, what do you specialize in?
I make minister's robes and a little bit of everything else after that.
Well, Emma, we will need to talk after this call is over. So now what is it that you want me to pray for?
Direction, because I had kind of given the business to everybody else to run, and it ran nowhere, and I'm ready to take the lead after kind of sitting on it for a long time.
And so what's holding you up?
Me.
Now, tell me, why did you – two things I'm going to ask. Why did you trust it to other people and not take care of their baby? And two, what is your holdup? What's impeding your heart?
Well, because I didn't have faith in what I knew I could do. You know what I mean? I would move out of frustration. Like if someone would say I couldn't do it, then I would move on the momentum of that, and then after a while it would peter out.
So is this something that you picked up because you have a natural ability for sewing and so you thought, gee, this would be nice? Or is this something you picked up because you felt like, gee, women of God or people of God need some attire?
No, I mean, I've been sewing since I was in the third grade. And
right.
I've always wanted to do either be a hairstylist or a seamstress. And I did the hair thing for 30 years. And I have been sewing in and out in between that, you know, and, you know, did several roles for several different people, made outfits for people, and it just didn't go. I had a person who was helping me, and then they just sort of fell off. You know, I had commercials for a while, you know, had advertisement for a while, and it just sort of fell off, you know, and I kind of got frustrated, and then I kind of lost the passion for it for a while. Because I was going through my own spiritual mess, you know, and I feel like I'm out of that cloud that I was sort of sitting in for a while, and so mm-hmm. now I'm just asking God for specific direction and guidance. It's not so much that I see people that need robes. I love to see people looking good. I've always wanted to be a part of, you know, helping people look good, dress good, making, you know, things for folks specifically tailored to their their desires, and that's what I want to do.
Well, it sounds like an exciting vision, and so certainly I would be the last person to tell you, you know, not to go after it, but I will not tell you what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. He said, so if I open it up to you again, what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to do it. I want to do it this time. I want to do it for real.
Well, how are you going to do it? I mean, let's go back. Let me go back. You went through 3 major blows in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they were hard. I mean,
yeah.
You had them. One was career. One had to do with a relationship. I
mm-hmm.
see a guy. And another one, I don't know if it's your children or someone else's children, but you
Mine.
Came through a major blow. Okay?
Yeah.
I hear the Holy Ghost saying, if that's the case, then if I open up my well to you again and you take another blow, I am going to lose again. And God's like, I don't want to do that.
Hmm.
So here's what we have to talk about. It's not about the business.
Okay.
This is about whether or not you can separate your emotions from your responsibility.
And that's the
because
exact
apparently
right.
Apparently, you have this thing that says when things hurt, I collapse.
Yep.
I'm going underground.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and I can tell you where that goes back. That goes back to you being a kid. You're
mm-hmm.
about 8 years old. I see you're around 8 years old. And for you, that was the message you got. And so when you, every time you wanted something, you could collapse and it would happen for you. Or either if you didn't want to do it, you even played that all the way up top through high school. That was something you did. Your emotions have got to be turned off now. You
mm-hmm.
have given them sovereign, almost sovereign preeminence in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that whenever the enemy does not want you to succeed, all he has to do is engineer the possibility of a calamity, and
mm-hmm.
you are.
Right.
So we're not going to pray about your business because we need to know how we're going to pray about your soul.
Mm.
And so guess what I have? You know, now you know, Emma, I got solutions, right?
Okay.
You know I got something in my back cabinet there, and I do. I have a teaching called Soul Stalkers. And it is a great teaching. And so when this is over, I want you to call my office. I don't know if it's online or not. That's why I tell everybody call my office. Because, see, I say these things and my staff tells me, oh, that's not there. So call my office. And when you call my office, I want you to tell them that Dr. Price told me to get that series called Soul Stalkers.
Mm-hmm.
We have it so you can download it on your computer. You don't even have to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to that thing over and over and over again because you have 3 strong men in your soul that are stopping you right now. The first one is unforgiveness. That thing, boy, you get mad, you out. I'm done. Okay? That's the first one. The second one is disappointment. And this is not the disappointment of your business. This is disappointment in your childhood. People you've trusted have always seen, in your mind, seem to be unworthy of your trust. So we're going to deal with that one. And Soul Stalkers is going to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is your own fear of success. You're not sure you want to give it all you have because you like your freedom and you love flexibility. And so I want to succeed, but I don't know if I want to do all the hours. You don't want to put in those 12, 16-hour days. If God gave you a big account tomorrow, let's say tomorrow he gave you a big account and said, hey, listen, I want you to make these 24 ropes. Where would you go with that?
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a diligence, a spirit of diligence and discipline that God has to work for you that has been beaten out of your soul. I'm telling you, you are a lady that has, I mean, you've been, like you said, 3 years, you've been sowing, you're gifted, you're talented, but you have not, while your gift was running the way it ran, nobody was building yourself.
Mm.
And so you could, you know, your gift ran, and it, so let me tell you, so you made something, somebody didn't like it, boy, you're done. Because your spirit, your soul realm, that whole area of the you needs too much affirmation and needs too much human approval. And so what we want to do is get you to a place. This is my prayer for you, my beloved. I want to get you to a place where you are good at what you do, that you know you're good, you can deliver what people need, you can help them go through their own issues, because when you're going to be a business person, sometimes people don't like things have nothing to do with your product. They have to do with them being having a bad day, them wanting to prove something, or them being just as insecure about themselves and their self-esteem as you, and that's what you're running into. So
mm-hmm.
I want to say to you, the second thing that I need you to do is you need business training.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to go to your local school or wherever they have it and get some business training because you're going to find out not only what you need to know, but you're going to find out how much you are really built to do this. because you need, you're a woman who needs great affirmation. Education is a great affirmer.
Mm-hmm.
You need great affirmation. That's the next thing I would love to see you do. And then the third thing, and the final thing I'd like to see you do is apprentice. I think you need to work with somebody.
Okay.
Because I think that you need to, because, see, you have it. Nobody's up here this first. I'm not telling you you don't have it. I'm saying you don't know what you have. And maybe witnessing it from a third party, education and mentorship or apprenticeship, is going to build your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to take the weight of your business on yourself right now. You got a lot going on. You got some things that you're still cleaning up in your whole life anyway. You need the funds, yeah, and I'm praying for you to get that, but I'm asking God to give you a great divine connection. Can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to have a great divine connection, not just, you know, okay, well, here, take this book and read it. So I want you to have a great divine connection because you – if I had to be honest with you, and I pray you hear it in the spirit, I'm saying you make a great number two, but you need a powerful number one.
I hear you.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So for me to pray for you to have your own business is not going to be useful to you because you are a good number two. But we need to ask God to connect you with the number one that's going to bring out the best in you.
Okay.
So that is my prayer. Anything other than that, I'm going to set you up for failure again, and you're still not going to be happy with God.
Okay.
Can we agree on those things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Soul Stalkers, you're going to get some training and education, and it could be while you're taking that course you might meet your connection. So training and education and apprenticeship. And the last thing is you need to partner with somebody. Because you are the plant person. You can bring that plant work in. You're the plant person. But that other guy, that person to do the numbers and all of the marketing and all the selling and accounts and all of that, you need somebody to do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a natural creative. You do realize that.
Mm-hmm.
You realize you think like a creative.
Okay.
You know, you're not trying to tie up yourself with all of that. You when you get into creating something, you are, it's all consuming. My goodness, you can stay up all night just because the whole thing grips you.
Yeah.
Because you are creative. And so we need to get that creative matching with that executive, and you got a match made in God.
All right.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for Emma. Thank you for her vision, her business. But first of all, can I say thank you for her survival? This woman is a survivor. I thank you for her survival. And she's resilient. I thank you for that resilience, that bounce back that she always has to get herself up. Lord, even when she talks herself out of getting up, she can't help it. She's back again. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you in her has kept her going and kept her awake and moving forward. And, Lord, even optimistic when she wanted to be pessimistic, because, God, you have great plans for her. So I'm asking, God, that you open up the doors and open up the way for her to meet the people who are good for her and her business. I think her business is amazing, Father. I cannot wait to see her work. But I know, God, that you have a partner for this woman and that she has a great gift that she can bring to another tailor or another design person, and the two can make it happen. God, I'm asking that you would have them reach out to her. Surprise her by showing her what you can do in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, I'm asking you for her to get the right training. Give her trainers, God, that will do what you want, that will bring your vision to pass in her life and in her soul. And then lastly, Father God, I'm asking that you would give her peace. And Lord, and I'm asking that you would grab her up in your arms as your daughter and finish the healing and the consoling and the rebuilding that she needs. God, this woman needs her Heavenly Father. And I thank you, Lord, for creating an environment of worship and restoration that brings her back right into not only the center of your will, but into the depth of your heart. And I praise you for doing it for God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. And thank you.
Emma.
Yes, ma'am.
Keep me posted, sweetheart, because you, listen, this is meant for you to win. You are going to succeed in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet Ashley?
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm telling you, you're stretching me today, woman of God.
You know, I do what I can.
And you know I know you're doing it.
I can't even take credit. you know why? Because someone will say, I need prayer for direction or clarity on my business. And that's really what I get. And so it's, I think it's interesting how three people will say the same thing and not be the same situation at all.
Well, you know, the beautiful part about it, and I love this. This is why I love doing it. You know, I love talking to the people of God because, you know, I keep saying my favorite thing is wisdom is the principal thing. We do know. We have a witness. God spoke to us in a dream or a vision or through a prophet or scripture. So we have the witness. We have the unction of the Holy Spirit. He drops something in our hearts to let us know what he wants to do. We can hear it, a prophecy in 30 seconds. Yeah, we know that. But the thing that we all need is the know-how and how to. You know, the how, the know-how and the how-to. And when we need that, we keep bumping our heads against this and bumping our heads against that. And sometimes for God, what we think is the stronghold is not the stronghold. Obviously for God, he knows. And so I have found that what people think is the strong man, not the strong man. What people think is the cause, not the cause. And it's been certainly been the case in my life because we know in part. We understand in part, we see in part, but it's God who gives us that whole 360 on our situation and says, listen, I'm going to give you some 360 wisdom. And for everybody that's on the line today, that's what God wants me to do, to give that 360 wisdom on the situation in people's lives, not because you don't know the Lord, not because he doesn't talk to you, not because you don't pray, but that other thing, because Satan blindsides us, life blindsides us. Sometimes just plain old lack of exposure blindsides us, and so we'll just keep doing the same thing, getting the same result until we're mad with God. And so that's why I love doing this on Thursdays. I really do, because we get an opportunity to give people that 360 wisdom that answers their prayers.
Huh, I like that, 360 wisdom. I think that's going to show up in a lot of places right there, 360
wisdom.
Now, that's right. Before we get to Georgette from Florida, she's going to be your next caller. But Dr. Price, I want you to talk about something you're going to do next Tuesday, where I want everybody to keep a lookout in their emails and on our posts for the time. But next Tuesday, you're going to talk about the assessments. You're going to be live on the air again more than once next week. And you're going to talk about why the assessments, why you did them, how they are needed, testimonials, feedback. So talk to our callers today right now about what is inspiring you to take this to the airwaves.
Well, what's inspiring me to take it to the airwaves is the fact that I've already taken it to the airwaves. You know, I have been every week we're on the call, we talk about it. We talk about the, you know, people tell me what they need, and I end up saying, have you taken my assessment? So I felt like, okay, I've talked about these assessments, and we're not a stranger to them, not even in the church. You know, many of us know the spiritual gift test and all of that, but that is not what God gave me. He gave me something a lot more extensive, I think a lot more precise, and certainly multidimensional. So I'm talking about it because I want people to understand why I'm telling them take this assessment. I want them to understand why it's needful at this time. In addition to the fact that, you know, a lot of people are misplaced. I mean, come on, Ashley, how many people call us and say, I don't know my place, I don't know what God wants, I need to understand? Well, I can give them a word, but it goes back to what I say. The absence of that 360 wisdom is going to make it a very limited counsel and very stunted revelation. So I can reveal who they are, but I still can't instruct them on how to get there because I need more. What we have done in our prophecy-only environment is that we've allowed people to run off of 30 seconds of information and call it wisdom. Well, you can't build a life on that. You can't build a ministry on somebody saying, thus saith God, thou art a prophet, amen, go to it. That's not going to work. You need to know who you are. God built us for some specific things. And so people need to know who they are, but they also need to know how they know. It's nice to say that I know and my knower, but wouldn't it be nice if your knower could print it out on paper? So what I do through the assessments to get your knower to print it out on paper so you get a hard copy of what you already know. And you begin to lead it. These assessments are amazing. I know they're amazing. We've been doing them for years. We will have on Tuesday many, many testimonies, people who have done it, organizations who've done it. But I believe that the number one thing we need right now is for leaders to stop having to take people's word for it on who they are. You know, somebody comes into your church, comes into your business, and they say, I'm a so-and-so. If you go into a secular business and say, I'm an accountant, they're going to tell you, prove it. You go into a church and say, I'm a minister, they'll say, good, go to work. Who does that? And then wonder why we have problems. But what if, as a leader, these people can say, okay, well, take this assessment, go through this program, and then we'll see. We put people in position way too fast. We promote them way too quickly. Sometimes we promote them too high. They're too elevated. And overall, we're not in control. The minute you put the wrong person in place, you have lost control. And you are now exposing yourself to all sorts of consequences and calamity that you could have avoided had you had the foresight to know what to do with the talents that have been entrusted to your care. So that is why we're talking about the assessments.
Well, praise the Lord. The minute you put the wrong person in place, you have lost control.
You liked that one, didn't you?
Sage counsel from the apostle. Yes, I do. That, I mean, but statements like that, truly, they answer so many questions. The church, we can easily fall into over-spiritualizing why something happens when there's a very natural cause to it. And misplacement of people might be that cause.
Exactly. And here's the thing. What the assessments do is to let us know, just because God is spirit and we are born again to be his spirit children, doesn't mean we don't live on planet Earth and being subject to its rules, its laws, its dominance, and its protocols. We are on Earth. You know, I often say about a prophecy is that a prophecy is eternal until it comes out of somebody's mouth. The minute that prophecy comes out of somebody's mouth, it's subject to time and space and the dynamics of the physical world. And that's what these assessments do. What somebody is in the spirit is wonderful, but shouldn't we know how that thing is going to play out in our businesses? We invest a lot in people. I don't think any institution on the planet invests more in human resources than churches, and they do it unknowingly. We're going to take everybody. We're going to use everything because we have to. But now, as we move forward, we're mature, we've grown up, it is time for us to be very deliberate, very thoughtful, very judicious in our investments, especially in our human asset investments. We ought to know whether or not to put 3 months in this person, or 3 weeks, or 3 days, or 3 minutes. And we need to have more than a hunch to make those decisions. So
yes.
Tuesday's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. It will be a blast, and we're going to cover a lot of ground. And I don't know how many days it will take for us to cover it, but I want it to happen because I want it to be on my site for people to understand why I developed these things, what they do, how they are to be used, and why they're so different from what people are used to. We're going to talk about that also.
Amen. I'm excited. I can't wait because I love the assessments.
Well, you would be. You're one of our prophet advisors, and you know them fairly well. I might throw you on the hook. You know, I love throwing you in the deep end of the pool just to see if you'll swim.
Praise God. I know. And you know what? I hopefully, prayerfully, I've improved in my skill over the years. But your caller next is Georgette from Florida. In your last 12 minutes here on the line today, Dr. Price, is Georgette from Florida. And yes, she's calling for direction. So we'll see how this all goes. Georgette, you're live with Dr. Price.
God bless you, Dr. Price.
God bless you, Georgette.
I've finally gotten through to you. It's been weeks.
Really?
Weeks I've called.
You've been trying to get through
weeks. It so happened that every time I set my phone to call you, it so happened that I'm too late or something, I was missing the talk. But I'm very happy that I got through to you today.
And in the last 12 minutes, Georgette, so you really got in under the wire. How's that?
Well, praise God for that. Well, yes, I have. I'm seeking direction. I just launched out in my ministry. I've served under a bishop for 12 years. And I last year, I asked his permission to go and assist a church. They needed my administrative skills. So I went under his permission to go and help the church.
And they have just started, and they have increased, they have built up. And it so happened that it's like going back to my church, it's like I'm feeling like God is leading me forward.
Mm-hmm. Have you discussed forward. With your bishop? Have you had another meeting with your bishop to tell him what you're feeling?
Yes, I have. I have spoken to him, and he's saying that, as a matter of fact, he was telling me, because I was telling him what the Lord is saying to me right now. Like, I told him the Lord is telling me to move on and, you know, to start something. And he said he feels that, but he feels like he feels the Lord is telling him to, like, raise me up to be, because I'm a prophetess in the church. And he said the Lord is raising me up to be a pastor for another church. He's going to raise up another church. I am not feeling, because my bishop, he has a different, he doesn't believe, I don't think he believes in apostolic, the apostles. He doesn't believe in that. He speaks against that. I believe in the fivefold ministry. So there's so many questions that I have. And also, being I was born under his ministry, I grew up in his ministry to be white. He ordained me. And this pastor that I'm with right now that I'm really helping, I've been helping them now for the past 6, going on 8 months now. And I really feel, I'm not sure if the Lord want me to stay with this pastor. You know, I'm like, I'm just asking God. I feel like I should be there helping them some more. But at the same time, my pastor is believing that, you know, he should establish a church and, you know, place me there. But I'm not feeling that.
Okay.
So I'm asking you for direction. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, a couple of other, because I've always been helping other prophets and apostles. I'm always assisting them with their ministry conferences and stuff like that. And you know, a lot of them have been, you know, telling me that, you know, they feel what God is doing right now for me to launch out and as well to serve them too. But I'm just calling to hear what the Lord is saying to you.
Okay. Well, let me. But you know, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions because remember, I'm 360 wisdom here, so I'm going to go all the way around the circle on this one. First thing I want to say to you is this: pastor that you have been helping, you say you've been helping them administratively, but not necessarily ministerial. Like, have you been
helping in all areas?
Okay, so you've been functioning prophetically in their church.
Yes, everywhere you can think of. I'm doing everything from pastoring, preaching, everything, every area. I'm training the young leaders that they have. I'm doing everything with that church right now.
Okay.
I'm helping
take
a foundation for the leaders.
Okay, so Georgia, we're about to have a little fun. So I'm going to have a little fun. You say you've been doing everything from pastoring, teaching, and everything. Is that right? That's
yes.
What you just, okay. So when your bishop said he wanted to raise up a church and put you in a pastor, you're not feeling that?
Yeah. I'm not feeling under him.
So you don't want to be under your bishop any longer. Now, why is that? Is it because you grew up under him or you feel like that you want him to be more apostolic? Let's nail this thing down so we're not shooting at the wrong
time. Yeah, I think, you know, that part to look like he doesn't believe in the apostolic. He believes that that's done away with, you know, and if I'm going to be having under him and I'm preaching something else, we're not going to be in the agreement.
That's okay. I'm clear on that. That's fine. But let's make sure we understand what you think is your destiny, because I'm not sure you know. See, here's what I think is happening to you, and I don't see it as a bad thing. I really don't, to be honest with you. But you had an opportunity to leave home. And when you left home, you had an opportunity to discover yourself. And when you discovered yourself, you found out things that you could do and things that you liked that were being stifled where you were at my coach.
Mm-hmm.
So now you don't want to go back home. I don't want to live home. I've moved to New York City. God, I don't want to go home now. I'm having fun out here. And there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure that you heard what the Lord says. If the Lord said, you know, Peter said, man ought to obey God rather than man. So if the Lord says your time is up with your bishop, If that is what he tells you, then I'm saying you need to write him a wonderful letter after you, but don't even just send it, meet the guy, and then give him a wonderful letter. Because let me tell you something. I hate it when people write those stupid letters. That's the most passive-aggressive cowardice I ever saw. Meet with him, and if he doesn't want to meet, then make sure you leave on good terms. He's been a father to you all your life. Do not dismiss that, okay? I'm telling you that.
Amen.
That's number one. Number two.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Can I share with you a dream I had?
But let me finish this because I'm running out of time. You only had 12 minutes, George. So let me tell you this. He's been a father to you, and you want to leave keeping him ideally as a father. That is what I pray happens for you. The next thing, you need to know that this pastor has a place for you and that you're going to be all right, or that you should start your own ministry and then serve your pastor through your ministry. Because that's two different arrangements. Trust me, that's going to bring out two different set of dynamics. So that's the next thing you want to be clear on. Am I supposed to start my own ministry? And clearly, it sounds to me from your statement that other people want you to help them and to work with them. It sounds like that's what you are called to do. But now I'm going to give you the wisdom of the Almighty. Number one, you need to decide what kind of prophet you are, and you need to be under a prophet or an apostle, a real one, not a newbie. Because you've been out here, you're not young in the Lord. You need to be a real apostle and a real prophet. You need to join that ministry if it's itinerant. You don't, it doesn't have to be a church. A lot of apostles don't have churches, a lot of prophets don't have churches, but you need to be under them, and I'll tell you why. Because you are new and you're exploring yourself and you're having fun and this is great. But as Jesus is a witness between us, your heart is going to get broken and your soul is going to get broken. And maybe that's needful, but you still need to have a cover. And that pastor cannot cover you prophetically or apostolically. That's not going to happen. I don't care if he's a new, you know, that's not going to happen. Because, and I'll tell you why I know he can't. Ask me why, Georgette.
Why, prophet?
Because he has you doing his job.
Wow.
So if you're doing his job, he cannot cover you.
Wow.
So the word of the Lord to you is you need to come under an apostle or a prophet that you respect and admire. That's number one. Number two, you need training so that you stop scattering your gifts. You're like a Gatling gun, man. You're spraying everywhere and hitting nothing. And which is normal because you're just coming out of home. Where you are is normal. This is not a criticism, my beloved, but this is reality. This is wisdom. And so I'm saying to you, you need to be under an apostle or a prophet, and you need to stop just spraying your gifts around like you're some sort of magic fairy just spraying dust. You need to have a focused, pointed ministry and a ministry focus. Also, may I encourage you to take my assessment so you can find out what kind of prophet you are and what you should be doing.
Okay.
So if you aren't going to stay under your bishop, which I understand why, if he's preaching against what God is calling you to, obviously that's a major sign that your time with him may be coming to an end. It's a major sign. But if that is the case, you're not going to go out here wandering alone like some free agent. Prophets are not supposed to be freelancers.
Yeah.
We have freelancers, but you can't do that. And people are going to, I'm telling you, they're going to bleed you dry because they know that you don't know the parameters. So learn your field, learn the world that you're entering, and most importantly, find the right covering.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. Please, please, don't go it alone because, see, you have a good heart. I hear your heart. I can almost just hold your little heart in my hand and rock it like a baby. I'm concerned about you. You have a good heart, but maybe other folks are going to see that, and they're going to exploit you. So you need some development. Please, when this is over, go to my website, take an assessment, and our advisor prophets will talk to you and help you work through this just a little bit more. When you're done, I'm going to see that if you take the advice, and I'm going to see that one of my chief prophets talks to you, and I want you to get extra time. When you get to her, get some extra time so she can coach you in how to make this thing work.
Okay.
Okay? You are blessed, and you're such a sweetheart. I want the best for you, and I believe your bishop does too. He's very concerned about you, and he wants the best for you. But understand, God never sends a lamb out alone. Never.
Yeah, it's like I'm having a women's conference starting tonight, and at the beginning of the conference, I'm really honoring him as my father and pastor for 12 years. Yeah. And as you said, I had a letter written up to give it to him this weekend. So, you know, you were really on point when you said, you know, because I had a dream that that I went to church. And nothing...
Wait a minute. It's going to cut us off. We only have a minute. They're going to cut me off. If you want to call and set up some time, you can do that. But we can't because I don't want to cut you off while you're
I can call you and set up some time to speak with you?
Yes. Call Prophet Ashley. She'll tell you how to make it happen.
Okay.
All right.
Call the same number that I called just now?
No. Go to my website. It'll give you a number.
Okay.
All right. God bless you. Listen, everybody, thank you for another Thursday. It's been wonderful. I have been told that it's the end, so I'm out. Talk to you on Tuesday. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.